Tomáš Gáčo overcame the odds to become a virtuoso pianist and is currently preparing his first LP. And the now US-based musician is Ian Willoughby's guest in this edition of One on One.
Earlier this year, the young piano virtuoso Tomáš Gáčo performed for the first time at New York's famous Carnegie Hall. It was the fulfillment of a long-held dream for the 31-year-old, who comes from a large Romani family in a small Czech town and was a youth prodigy before seizing a life-changing chance to study in the US. I caught up with Tomáš Gáčo when he was visiting Prague from his home in LA last week. My first question: when was he first exposed to music in a meaningful way?
I started to play piano when I was 5, actually by forcing from my dad. At the time, I just hated it, you know? Like, every kid wanted to go out and play soccer or stuff. And the force is actually was very, very important. But of course, at the time, I didn't realize, right? And then 12 years later, when I was like 17 or 18, when I first time heard the music of Frédéric Chopin, I fall in love with the music and with the piano, with all my human being kind of thing.
Was your dad a skilled teacher? Could he train you in piano?
No, he wasn't. He's not a musician, he's not a pianist, but he just knows 3 chords how to play on piano, you know, like, which is A minor, G major, F major, and E major. He just had, I don't know why, some kind of dream that one of his kids will be, you know, musician or pianist, you know.
You come from a small town, Nowiczyn, in Moravia. Were there many good teachers around? Was it possible to get good training in piano when you were a teenager, say?
Officially, I started to get like real music training when I was, I guess, 11 or 12. But by that time, my technique was already pretty good. And I was kind of a rebellious guy because I had the freedom. Until the time, I was self-taught and I didn't have any rules, any borders. But when I started to learn like classical music, meaning like learning notes and you know, sheet music, they tried to put me in the box, you know, in the sense. I remember in the, how do you call it, music school, I switched between like three different teachers because none of the teachers knew how to handle me, kind of, because I was like always changing the music of Mozart.
And were they trying to kind of re-educate you, to tell you that you were doing everything wrong?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I tried to do. It's like, you can't play this note there. That's not what written on the score, right? But I said like, well, but wouldn't this be better? It just sounds better to me. It was more like about the focus and like trying to respect the traditions, you know, of the classical music.
I guess piano isn't an instrument that's commonly used in gypsy music. Do you take any elements from Romani culture, any influence into your work, do you feel?
Yeah, that's a subject I've been thinking long time about, like, what does even gypsy music mean, you know? Because gypsy music is in every country is different, you know? And that's why you can't generalize it, you know? But, of course, the biggest influence for people from Czech Republic and Slovak Republic, I mean, gypsies in Slovak Republic, it's music actually from Hungary. The traditional instrument in gypsy music in Hungary is like violin, viola, bass, and the traditional Hungarian instrument called I don't know how to say in English, dulcimer.
Dulcimer, I
dulcimer,
think.
Something like this, yeah. And, you know, those people can play really fast on this instrument. And I think we like a pianist, we try to play gypsy music. Like, the tradition is kind of copying or, like, trying to copy the sound of the dulcimer.
The biggest turning point in your career must have been when you were accepted into the Berklee School of Music in Boston. What did that give you, studying at Berklee?
Studying at Berklee was very important part of my life, and I will say more than musically, it gave me like more like a personally. I think I grew more like my personality grew more than like my music education or music. Of course, my music education went pretty, you know, developed as well. But I think like just the realizing and seeing and meeting different cultures and seeing the diversity what's going on in the school and generally in US, that's just helped me a lot, you know, just completely transport me to the different level of like a human kind of personality thing.
Obviously in the US there is racism, but also there's a lot of multicultural areas or cities. In this country, everyone knows there is racism towards Romanies. How do you find, as a Romani person, living there compared to being here?
Basically, when I am in US, and if I say to somebody I'm a gypsy, like Romani or whatever you call it, what's the correct word for it? They are excited about it, right? They are like so interested and they want to know what is it about and what is your tradition, because they thought the gypsies is like, it's only in the movies kind of thing, that it doesn't really exist kind of thing. And they never met anyone like who is gypsy, real gypsy. And yeah, so it's kind of like an advantage, you know? I think in US, more different you are, more interesting you are. And here, if I meet new people, and let's say you grab coffee with them or whatever, for friends of your friends or something, you just say that you are gypsy or like that in your like family, in the tradition, you know, is something different. It's not easy to say, you know, because you don't know if the guy or whoever is gonna like judge you right away, you know. But mostly like 90% is like they like, of course, they have bad experience with gypsies and the judgment is there right away.
I saw you playing one time, I think it was about 4 years ago, at a wedding, and you were absolutely fabulous. It was at a school in Malastrana. I was just wondering if you often had to do that kind of work to make a bit of money in those days.
Oh, really? 4 years ago at a wedding?
Around 4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I used to do these kind of gigs, you know. It was just pretty good, pretty easy job. Pretty easy, like a side money, you know. Of course, it wasn't my like main focus, you know. It's a pretty dangerous area of... Because once you are good at it, once you get good at these kind of gigs, it's pretty easy to fall into it and just stay like, you know, you can make good money, everything, but you stay in the level of like being pop or like very gigs musician, you know.
Now, obviously, you're at a very different level. You played at Carnegie Hall in New York, the famous venue, in February of this year for the first time. What did it mean to you to play at this venue that everyone in the world who knows anything about music has heard of?
It was such an honor, you know, it was such an honor and such a responsibility. I felt a big responsibility, and in a certain time I just felt, do I deserve it? Like, you know, do I deserve it? Me? Why me? You know, I know I'm not the best probably pianist in the world, or like I know there's tons of better pianists, you know, and I was kind of playing with the idea in my head. I was like, man, shouldn't I just call some of my friends from Czech Republic who plays much better, you know, who deserve probably. And then after a while I realized that that's what it is, you know, and then I just gotta take advantage of it and do my best, you know.
And were you more nervous than usual or anything like that?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous when I was in the backstage in the green room, because I had a lady there taking care of me, and I started to talk to her and ask her how long she'd been working there, and she told me she's working there for 40 years, and she said all the big like artists, they started right here. Like, you know, Horowitz and all these guys, right? I was like, oh my goodness. So it completely, you know, took my breath. So I felt honored that she is, you know, the lady like taking care of me. If I have everything, if I have water, if I need something. So I was like pretty nervous. But from the minute when I sat by the piano and started to play, everything ran away.
There was a lot of coverage of that concert here in the Czech media. What was the response of, I don't know, your family or perhaps even the broader Romani community to your success?
Oh, it's pretty positive, you know, pretty positive. Everybody was like, they were happy for me, you know. I felt they were pretty happy for me, and they felt, the gypsy community, they felt pretty proud, you know. I think they were like proud, and they were like, you know, kind of showing off like, oh, you know, we are so proud that you're gypsy and like you're doing so well.
Probably also there aren't that many role models for young Romani kids.
Exactly, it is not that, and I think that's what it's needed, you know, for the young Romani kids. Their self-confidence is pretty low, you know, only because they are gypsies, you know, but their skill is pretty high, their talent can be pretty high, but the confidence is pretty low.
Did you ever get annoyed by the coverage of your concert? A lot of the headlines were along the lines of, here's this poor guy, he's got 11 brothers and sisters, he's come from nowhere, and now he's playing at Carnegie Hall, and he's a Romani.
I know how the media somehow works. What they are selling is the story, kind of thing. And the only thing what I more felt sorry about is people actually doesn't really know what is my music about. You know, many people think that I perform classical music. You know, like only like or like strictly classical pieces or strictly jazz music. You know, many people think that I'm a jazz pianist, you know, and so people doesn't know, you know, but what they know the story, you know. I think it will take time, you know, more time that people will know and appreciate what the music is about, kind of thing.
I wanted to ask you, as well as playing, you also compose, you improvise. Do you feel comfortable, or do you feel that you fit in comfortably to classical music, or would you see yourself being more in the kind of crossover area, reaching out to audiences who usually wouldn't go to classical concerts?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm the guy who is like who's making bridges between it can be bridges between nationalities, bridges between different music genres, you know. So it's definitely not gonna be, you know, strictly classical, strictly jazz. It's always gonna be like try to get people to get know like the fusion between the stuff, you know. Because I grew up in a fusion, you know. My tradition was it wasn't only gypsy, you know. It was Czech as well, because I'm Czech. I'm a gypsy and I'm Czech, you know. It's like, and that's the music, you know, as well. It's fusion.
Would you like to be a kind of pop star, classical musician? You know, these guys who play in big arenas with big shows and all that kind of stuff?
No. I was always the, like, an introvert type of guy, and I felt like phobia a little bit from like from people, you know. There's like many people around me, I just don't like it. But I mean, I don't have a problem if I'm on the stage and people like there's like 6,000 people sitting and watching or whatever. But yeah, I definitely don't want to be like a star type of Michael Jackson, but more like the pianists who's playing for Michael Jackson, kind of thing.
My final question, Tomasz, is where would you like to be? What would you like to be doing in terms of your career in, let's say, 10 years from today?
So 10 years from today, I can imagine, or like, I would love to have like at least one Grammy nomination. You know,
not just the nomination, you must want the award as well.
Yeah, maybe the award. And probably later, you know, of course, touring the world and performing, sharing my music, trying to get as many collaboration with many different genres, many different artists, you know, in different genres, and just connect people, you know, connect genres and inspire more and more people with my story, you know, and my music, of course.